This week's mailbag comes to us from Susan. Yay, I finally learned the benefit of front loading of the week. This week, although I didn't feel like it and I was so tempted to put shopping and errands on Thursday, which is my odd day off for working the weekend, I resisted it and I did all of those on Monday, which is my normal day off, and Tuesday evening. And now it's Thursday and I have a whole day for myself. I am going to go to the library, read magazines, do crochet, and walk for an hour. And wow, this is the feeling of not having anything must-dos. I love this feeling and I would try my best to do the Sunday basket as early as possible on the weekend so that I can get ahead in my housework and I can make Monday available for me time.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started.
This week, we're going to talk about control. Here's the thing. You don't have very much control over almost anything, but you have so much control over a few things. Let me explain. I am recording this podcast on the road because I recorded all of my July and early August podcasts before I went on the book tour starting the beginning of July. But when the book tour started in the beginning of July, it goes all the way until August 18th. And I can't record a podcast on August 18th and have it ready on the 20th. So really, I knew that before I left on the book tour, I should have all of my podcasts recorded through the beginning of September, but I just couldn't do it. Like, I could record all of the podcasts about housework and our research, and I got all of those done. And I thought to myself, I just don't even know what August is going to be like. And I like my podcast to be as relevant as possible. It's almost like when you turn on the podcast, it should be like we just got on the phone together and we're talking through, you know, this day in time. If you're listening in real time, it's like we are friends and we just got on the phone and we're talking about how we're feeling in our house at this time of year. And well, with that little bug COVID that's going around, I can't see the future. I don't know what the future is going to look like. And when I started on this book tour and was recording my podcast, like the U.S. numbers were so low that we were almost like Australia. We were like, COVID wasn't really a thing anymore. We didn't stop thinking about it. We were trying to stop thinking about it on a daily basis. This is not the facts at the beginning of August. I'm recording this on August 1st in a hotel room early in the morning while Joey sleeps in the other room because I can't control COVID. I know. We're trying, but we can't. It is one of the things that we cannot control. I think one of my favorite images from March of 2020 was the girl who was standing on the balcony of her New York apartment holding up this cardboard sign saying, "I don't care how long you leave me here, I am not cleaning out my closet." We want to have some sense of control even when we feel like we have no control. And her choice was to say, I don't care, I'm still not cleaning out the closet, which is hilarious. But the truth of the matter is, even before COVID, there are so many things that we do not have control of. And when you focus on what you do not control, or people who choose a different option than you in a situation that we are not in control of, it causes stress, anxiety, and worry. But on the flip side, If you choose to focus on what you do control, then that stress, anxiety, and worry either goes away completely or leaves at least for a certain period of time. We do not have control over really almost everything, but we do have control over our mind, our home, our media inputs that we look at, and our impact that we make in the world. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. COVID can be a distraction, and it is a distraction for almost everyone right now from your unique purpose and your impact. It is extremely important, but it is not urgent. And what it keeps us from doing is making decisions and moving on with our life because we have to constantly keep re-deciding. Have you ever had a time in your life where you had to make a really big decision and you worried about it and you fretted and you stressed for days and weeks and months and sometimes years? But when you finally decided, nope, this is what I'm going to do, there was still stress from the decision, but the worry and the anxiety from making the decision had gone away. I mean, the biggest one I could think of is the beginning of the book, Organization is a Learnable Skill. When I was driving home from work on a Thursday in December, the day before winter break as a teacher, and I have been so stressed and so worried and so anxious for so long that I had to go on antidepressant medication because I was so depressed and I felt like I was failing at every single thing in my life, in my marriage. But my husband is such a strong man. Like, I'd ignored our marriage for probably 5 years. Like, I was not being the mother I wanted to be. My house was a complete and total wreck. And I was doing everything possible to be the best teacher to the kids that I was teaching. And my administrator said I wasn't very good at my job. It's like, well, alrighty then. I'm literally failing at life here. So if you don't even appreciate that I'm prioritizing this job above all else in my life, maybe it's time that I pick a different priority. And I picked my home, my husband, and my kids, and I quit my job. Like, it's not a normal thing to have done. Although I think a lot of people have done it in the last 18 months. They're like, okay, this is not working. Like, my life is not working. And if my life is not working, I guess the thing that's going to change is my job. And so I changed my job to the one that I will forever have and decided to focus on that and figure out where the income would come from next. Did all of our stress, anxiety, and worry go away the day I quit my job? Of course not. But I had such a renewed sense of purpose and feeling of control over my life that it was hard, but I had the energy to pour into this new kind of hard versus an old kind of hard where I never got an attaboy. I never got a, you're doing a good job, or thank you so much. Or, it's not like the dishes started saying thank you to me, because if they did, we'd have a whole different podcast. But I started realizing that I was doing what I was uniquely created to do, which was start my own company. I have known since I was a child that I would own my own company and I would be an employer. I was just scared. Like, I didn't know what it would be or what it would look like or if I would be a good employer or not, or if I could handle that and also do my other dreams of being a wife and mother and homeowner and all the things that I wanted to do. And sometimes we make our choices about how we spend our time and what our priorities are based on what we think other people think we're good at or what other people think we should be doing or what other people are doing. I have a news flash for you. If you have not figured this out in the last 18 months, nobody knows. Nobody knows. If the CDC, the Center of Disease Control, thought that COVID was as contagious as the chickenpox, in January, they would have made different decisions than they're making today. But they've just made that realization at the end of July. And so now they're giving different guidance and different rules and different regulations. If we knew 18 months ago what we know now, maybe countries would make different decisions. Maybe they wouldn't. Let's just be clear. We will not know how COVID plays out and what we should have done until 20 years from now. Like, I keep walking around going, I cannot wait to read the reports 20 years from now about what we should have done or what we could have done that would have made this all easier. But we have no idea. Nobody knows. And so we are just living through this period of time the best that we can, making the best decisions that make the most sense for us personally and for our family, and moving forward. Making decisions, the act of deciding is so powerful. It's so powerful. And I think that it is probably the part of perfectionism that I'm identifying holds people up the most. You know, we've talked about the difference between perfectionism and excellence. And I've replaced the word perfectionism with the word for excellence. If you haven't been listening very long, I realized when I was in sixth grade that I was never going to be perfect. I had dyslexia, we found out when I was 16, but we didn't know that when I was growing up. And so I couldn't spell, and I'm very verbal. I could talk you under a bus. And I have a visual memory. Like, I could tell you exactly what page the answer is on and where on the page the answer is. I just don't always know what the answer is. So I don't know. If they tested me today, I probably have some kind of learning disability as well. But they didn't have those tests when I was going to school. I'm 49. So I would always have, I could never get straight A's. And my mom's expectation was straight A's. Not only that, A's and B's would be fine, but I always had a floating C on my report card. And it would be in history. So I double down on history. And then the next quarter, it would be in English. So I double down on English. And then the next quarter, it would be in science. And it kept floating around. And the reason it would float around is because I had dyslexia. So I literally read the words incorrectly on the page when I'm reading them. And the only reason the school ever figured out that I even had dyslexia was because in junior year of high school, I read a whole entire paper about the conversion of Bede from a different religion to Catholicism, because I was in Catholic school. And I turned to my paper at the end of the day to a teacher that probably was watching me and being like, there's something off here, but I don't know what it is. I can't figure out why the grades aren't matching the conversation in the class. And I said, well, here's the test, but I just don't understand why they called this the conversation of Bede. Like, I understand they were having a conversation, but it was all about him being converted to Catholicism. I turned to the paper and I walked away and she was like, come back here. I was like, okay. She's like, read this to me. And so I read it, the conversation of Bede. She's like, the conversion of Bede. I was like, well, that makes so much more sense. I mean, I just don't. When I say I don't sweat the details, it's because I don't see them, people. If you give me a long list of words, if you give me an email that is 4 pages long, like I get to sentence 3 and I just say, can someone make this decision, please? Like, I can read. I read books all the time. I love reading. But when you give me a long list of details, like I just glaze over. My brain does not process information that way. And so I realized that I was not going to meet, you know, my parents or the schools or anyone's definition of perfection. Straight A's was the definition of perfection I was going towards. I was not going to meet that definition of perfection. So for 20 years, I just said, I'm not a perfectionist because I can't spell well. I'm not good at, I don't even know grammar. Like, I used to, I think, at some point, but now I don't. In 2012, when I started my blog, I loved it because you wrote a blog so that you could read it from a tablet or a phone, which meant you just used 1- and 2-word sentences. Well, now that I've written that way for 10 years, you think I know how to write a paragraph? Like, I don't. I write the rough draft of my book manuscript, and I send it off to Mary and whoever else we have on the editing team, and I'm like, good luck. There are all the sentences. Can you turn them into paragraphs again, please? Because I don't even remember the grammar rules. Plus, I think they've changed. I don't know. There's a whole conversation in Organized 365 about an Oxford comma. I was like, well, is this a proper? I don't know. So I do 3 dots. You know, you get my emails, which are all like 2 to 3 sentences in between paragraphs. And then I do dot, 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 because I do write the Friday newsletter. I write it, you guys. They edit it now, but I do write it. And if you understand grammar, you're like, oh my gosh, no joke. Like, I haven't gotten a single correct newsletter from Lisa ever. Right, because I write them. So I do ellipses. I just do dot, 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 dot. But you get the point. You're listening to the podcast. Can't be that bad. I had to decide. I'm not good at grammar. I'm not good at spelling. My literal first hire, my very first hire when I started Organize 365 in 2012 was an editor. It was an editor because I know this is my Achilles heel. And you can focus on the thing that you know is your Achilles heel from now until the end of time. And I mean, maybe I could get better at spelling and grammar, but only a little bit. If I spent every single second of my life for the rest of my life, I will never be a perfect spelling and grammar person. And who cares? You're listening to a podcast. I'm good at speaking. Someone else is writing the show notes. You know that. Mary is listening. She's writing the show notes. She's taking notes. And she is translating what I can put out there in big ideas that will change your way of thinking and help you be more successful in the life that you want to live. And she will make that look great in written form. And that's what she loves to do. She doesn't want to speak behind the microphone, but she wants to further the message of Organize 365 and the impact it can have for people who will never listen to a podcast, but they will read the blog post or they will read the books. And so together, we're a great team. Deciding that you are a person of excellence versus a perfectionist is a gigantic mindset shift. Because until I could replace the word perfection with excellence, I always felt like, okay, I know that I'm not perfect. I guess I'm just less than. I'll never be a straight A student, so I'm an okay student. I don't think that's a true statement. I'm still a student. I mean, I read at least a book a week, at least. I talk to people in the productivity field, in the research field, in other businesses. I'm definitely getting a PhD plus in business ownership with the amount of courses and masterminds and coaches and books that I read. Like right now I'm doubling down on marketing and what it takes to grow a marketing team and being a CMO. And I'm learning all kinds of things about that. Like I'm always learning. Like I would say that I spend more time learning than most people I know. I'm a lifelong student. I'm an excellent student. I'm just not a straight A student when I was in school. And I was learning what teachers wanted me to learn, not what I want to learn. So replacing perfectionism with excellence, being a person of excellence, is a decision that I made. And now I have said in my last 5 years since I've made that distinction, whenever anyone says perfectionism, I say, no, I am a person of excellence, but I'm not perfect. And I feel really good about that answer. And it's an empowering answer that makes me feel like I am doing a great job. Whereas when I was striving for perfection, I was never achieving it. So as I am now observing people who still identify with perfectionism or have made the same realization that I did, that they're not perfect, yet I could see in their hesitation, they're like, they're where I was before I replaced perfectionism with excellence. They're like, yeah, I'm not perfect, but, and then they explain all of the ways that they're trying to achieve something that looks like perfect. I say, right, because you're a person of excellence. And you just see, I mean, they stand up straighter and they go, that's right, I'm a person of excellence. That is the act of deciding. The act of deciding that what you're going for, the goal that you're going for, the thing that you're striving for is just a little bit different. And so I would love to have you think about this week. And then next week, I'm going to come back with how you can do this more often and on purpose. But the act of deciding, one of the reasons why I believe businesses are successful or are not successful is based on the quantity of decisions that are made, the speed at which they are made, and the speed at which they are implemented. And the more I read about businesses and business owners that are successful, it is because there is someone that is leading that company or they are leading that department and they are making decisions. They're making them with the amount of information that they have today in a quick manner, and then they stand behind them and they go for it. They don't waffle back and forth and the next week go, oh, I wish we had made a different decision or let's reevaluate that decision. They almost never have. If you research any company out there, they almost never have 100% of the data that they need when they make the decisions that were the biggest impact in their company. And I just want to let you know, you guys are all business owners now. You are business owners of your household because you do not and you will not have all of the information that you need to make the decisions that you are going to need to make for the rest of the pandemic, however long that lasts. 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 years, 200 years, I don't know. I have no idea. I just know that we are all being called to become better decision makers. Because when you make a decision and then you decide it's done, until new information is presented, it reduces the amount of stress, anxiety, and worry that you have in your life. Being a business owner, I don't even know how many decisions. I make so many decisions. Little decisions? Well, actually, no. I empower my team to make as many decisions as possible without me. That's actually what I've been doing in all of the last 12 months, is delegating the decision-making ability in Organize 365 to someone other than me. I've been on the road at this point for almost 4 weeks, and there are very few decisions in Organize 365 that I've been making, but I know there are big decisions that have been made. And here's the thing, I don't even have to know what they were. That's when you truly know that your way of making decisions has been given to another group of people, is when they make decisions, you don't even have to know what the decisions are. You just know that they are in line with where you are going and what your mission, vision, and values are. And you could do this in your household. You could totally do this in your household, because I've done it in my household as well. It's so funny. So we were sitting at the pool one day. It was Friday. I finally sat at the pool. I only sat at the pool 3 days on my vacation because this was a working vacation for me. So I'm sitting at the pool and the whole family's around me. And Abby had gone up to do something. And while she was on her way up, I asked her to do something. And Joey was doing something else. And I'd asked him to do something. And Greg looked at me and he had brought me down pizza. And I said, "And when you go up, can you do this, that, and the other thing?" And he said, "Oh my gosh, it's like we're back at home again." I was like, "Hey, I have been doing all of the things this entire week. I'm staying at the pool for one more hour." But you set the tone and the cadence in your household. You may have a roommate. You may live by yourself. Your household may not look like my household does right now, but you do set the cadence and the decision-making inside of your household. So at the beach, I become like the 20 years ago wife to Greg that I was. We've been coming to the beach like since before we got married. So we've been coming to the beach for 29 years. And when we get to the beach, I become the woman that I was in the 90s, and I do the grocery shopping, and I prepare all the food, and I do laundry every single night, and I clean up the condo, and I don't do these things at home anymore. I mean, we have one or two loads of laundry, Greg and I, for the week, but at the beach, I do the kids' laundry. Like, I do everyone's laundry, I fold it, I put it away, just like I used to. And at the beach, I go to the grocery store, which is hilarious because I never go to the grocery store. And if I have to buy groceries in Cincinnati, I do I order them online and I go pick them up. So I looked at Abby. I was like, "All right, I guess I'm doing the grocery shopping." You guys know the last time I did this was 2 years ago at the beach because I didn't go last year. Abby goes, "I'll go with you." I said, "Well, we're going to have to go up and down every single aisle because I don't even know where to start with a list. I don't even know what we would need. We spent way too much money. It was hilarious. We had so much fun." So we were sitting there talking, and the whole family, and I have not been at home. At that point, I hadn't been at home for 2 weeks. And Abby said, "Yeah, Dad does great at the grocery shopping. Dad does great at the cooking." She said, "But he does not clean, Mom." I was like, "Okay." She said, "He does not do the dishes." I said, "I know. I do them twice a week because no one does them. So I figure nobody does them. I will just do them whenever I walk through." I say this all the time on Instagram. Our dishes in our house are done twice a week. They're mostly my coffee cups, a couple of grilling utensils, and whatever the kids have decided to eat in the middle of the night. And I do them twice a week because, first of all, I'm not in the kitchen that often. And second of all, what am I going to do? Three dishes every time I walk into the kitchen? No. I just wait until there are enough there. I load up the dishwasher and I run it. And so my kitchen is never perfect, but I can get the dishes done in 20 minutes. And here's my argument. If anybody else cared, either they would complain, which no one ever complains, or they would do the dishes themselves, which also almost never happens. So Abby says, yeah. Dad says, how about if you clean up the kitchen? And I said to him, we can split it. Abby said to Greg, we could split it. Like, we'll share doing the dishes. And Greg looks at Abby and says, or you could just do them all. And she said, so I did all the dishes. She said, you know, Dad doesn't do the dishes. I said, I know. That's fine. But she did say, but he doesn't care when they're not done. I said, right. He doesn't care when they're not done. When I made this revelation, you guys, this may seem like, ew, Lisa, how can you have dishes literally sit in your kitchen from Sunday night? They're cleaning in their dishwasher. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's usually Thursday night when I decide to do the dishes again. That's 4 days worth of dishes. Now, we're not cooking from scratch, obviously. It's coffee cups. You know, it's I could get it all done in like 15 minutes. You may say, disgusting. And I say to you, fine. I also don't spend any time doing dishes except for once during the work week. Try it. It may not be the solution for your family, but there are other things that you are spending your time on that you are going, oh my gosh, I have to get this done. And you're worrying and you're stressing and decide you're going to do it every other day. Decide you're going to do laundry only on the weekends. Make some different decisions about what you do control and get some of your time back. And what you may find is what I found is they don't care. They really don't care. Greg just doesn't want to do the dishes. I'll tell you what I don't want to do. I don't want to go in a grocery store. It has nothing to do with COVID. It just, totally drains me. Takes too long. And the ironic thing is, in the early 2000s, I couldn't wait to go to a grocery store. I couldn't wait to go to a grocery store alone. I would go to Target and get a coffee and go up and down every aisle and have nothing I needed to buy nothing, come home an hour later and be happy as could be. And now I don't like going to grocery stores, like, or any kind of stores. I got things shipped to me before COVID because I don't like spending my time that way anymore, but I used to love it. You can make different decisions now. You can decide that you're going to DoorDash food or you're going to, new thing I learned, you can order on Uber Eats and then go pick it up. So I said to Greg's half brother and sister who are millennials, I was like, what else can I do this for? They're like, everything. I'm like, everything? They're like, everything. So the last thing I'll tell you is we were standing in line. Joey wanted to go to a car show here in Daytona. He found a car show. It's slammed air. I don't know. Apparently, you can lower your cars. You're going to see this now that I've said this. It's called bags. That's not right. Bags, whatever. You can actually lower your car. I don't think you'd want to do it in a minivan. But anyways, Joey has a Honda Civic. He wants to lower it. What that means is the car looks like it's almost on the ground. And you drive it that way. And Greg and I are like, you're going to ruin your car. Like, this makes no sense. They take the car down, so the car covers part of the wheels. Sometimes the wheels are like angled out. I'm like, you're going to ruin your tires. Joey goes, this is not the point of the car show. I'm like, okay. Like, I just totally don't understand it at all. So Joey finds this car show. Now, we vacation south of Daytona Beach. Greg's family lives north of Orlando. So we went from south of Daytona Beach to north of Orlando for 2 hours to wait. And then I went from north of Orlando down to the Orlando airport to drop Joey and Abby off. Then we came back to Daytona, which is like, I don't know, hour and a half, to go to this car show and then back to Orlando because that's where our hotel was at night. So I did a lot of driving on Saturday because Joey wanted to go to this car show and he wanted to show me these cars that basically are on the floor and they drive them this way. And I call them sweeping cars because they look like they're going to clean the road when they drive. He's like, Mom, that is not the point. So we get to the car show in Orlando or in Daytona, and I am wearing jeans and a t-shirt because we're going to be inside and I freeze in air conditioning. And we are standing in the parking lot in sun. Like, so in the shade, like it's like 86 degrees in the shade. In the sun is like 1,000 degrees. So we're standing in the sun and we have parked in a parking lot. And there is only one out of four of the parking meters, you know, giving you your parking. Some people found that if you walked to a completely different parking lot, there were 3 meters over there you could use, but the parking guy came along in his little golf cart and said this was the only parking meter we could use, so Joey and I stayed in this line. And we'd been in this line for, I don't know, 30 or 40 minutes. And we were getting towards the front, and one of the guys at the front of the line said, "You guys, there's an app for this. Like, you can download this app. When you get the app downloaded, I'll give you the 5-digit code." So I'm third in line. So I download the app, and my phone downloaded the app pretty fast. So I said, "Give me the code." So he gives me the code, and I start typing in mine, and I'm next up in line. So I said to the person behind me, "I think I have this on the app. You go ahead and put yours in." So I said, "But if I don't, I'm getting back in line. I mean, like, I'm next in line." So it worked. The app worked. And this guy in front of me had told this whole line of like 50 people who'd been all standing there. We'd been there an hour, so they were somewhere along that amount of time. "Here's the app, start downloading it." So no one else could get the app to download like I did. And he tried to give them the code, and he had walked on. So I stepped back. Joey went to put our backpacks in the car. And so I was waiting for Joey. And I said, "Look, I just downloaded the app. It works. Here's the app. Pull it up. Let me know when you have it. I will give you the 5-digit code." I'm walking to the back. "Download the app." They're like, "Yeah, yeah, it's not really downloading." I'm like, "Look, you are going to stand here for an hour. Ask me how I know. Download the app." All of a sudden, you see everybody's phones are out. You guys, it's like us having school. And I'm just waiting, and I'm walking from the front to the back of the line. "Okay, are you ready for the code? Are you ready for the code?" I'm giving the code. And just like a teacher, I'm like, "The app is called this. Download it. It looks like this. Okay, here's the code." I'm walking up and down until Joey comes back. And we saw more than half of that line download the app and walk away. And I said to Joey, "I just collectively saved like 16 of people's hours by just doing that for 5 minutes." And I felt so great about that decision. Anyway, I said to Joey, "I think that we could basically do anything on our phones that we want and we never have to stand in line again." And he said, "Probably. You just have to know what the app is and what the code is and be willing to download it and try it and move on. We have to start making some different decisions than we made 2 years ago. The world has started to move on and we have to move on with it." Now, if you love going to the grocery store and my story about hoping to never go to one again, like, hurt your soul, spend all the time you want going up and down the Target aisles. I think I've been in 6 Targets in the last 2 weeks because I'm enjoying it while I am on my book tour. But if you are like, "You know what? It really doesn't bring me joy. It used to bring me joy, but it doesn't now," I can guarantee you there is some kind of app for that. Find the app. Download the app. I have more apps on my phone than I know what to do with now, but I use them to save me time to do what I want to do. And do you know what I want to do? I want to read even more books. I want to have more conversations with people. I want to enjoy the rest of this book tour and meeting everyone who I can meet in person as safely as I can, because once I get back home again, the decision will be I'm going to be home for a long time with this little teeny tiny baby that's coming. And Grayson is going to become my priority for the next, 9 months. And helping Abby become the mother that she wants to be and, this new phase of life that we're getting ready to enter. Decide. Decide. Decide and really decide. Like, make a decision and be done. And next week, I'm going to talk to you about how do we make more of these decisions on a regular basis and then trust the decisions that we've made for a period of time.